WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The New York City Council may be in recess for the summer, but a coalition of labor activists is pushing Council Speaker and mayoral hopeful Christine Quinn to bring up a piece of unfinished business, a vote on a paid sick leave bill. Dan Cantor, co-chair of the Working Families Party, is one of the leaders of that coalition and joins me now. Hi, Dan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And by way of background, here is Speaker Quinn when the Council couldn't reach agreement on such a law in 2010.
We tried to get to a compromise where we could expand benefits without putting small businesses at risk of closure. We were unable to do that.
That was 2010. Why are you trying to force this issue again right now?
Well, the problem hasn't gone away. That is to say, hundreds of thousands of workers, I know most people are unaware of this, who have paid sick time, but there are literally 800,000, maybe even more, workers in New York City who, when they get sick and take a day off, don't get paid. So we think, at the heart of this is just a little bit of common sense and common decency that suggests that all workers, perhaps not in the very smallest businesses right now, there is a willingness and an ability to forge a sensible compromise, but it is based on the view that there is actually something unseemly about lobbyists for business or others who have vacation time and paid sick time and comp time and paid holidays and pensions, telling people who have none of that they don't deserve even 5 paid sick days a year, which, by the way, most of them won't use, right? Not everybody uses all of their paid sick time, but it's a very good thing if you're sick or your kid is sick and you need to go to school to pick them up that you don't lose a day's pay when that happens. So to us, it's just common sense, common decency.
You're framing this in part as a women's issue. Gloria Steinem has spoken for it in the past, for example. What's the gender issue here?
Well, the overwhelming population of low-wage workers who don't have paid sick time is female. And they are, of course, the main caregivers in still our, gender-oriented society. So there's a disproportionate impact on women, on Latinos. Steinem has made this point very clear. You know, she could no more be for someone who's anti-choice than she could be for people who are against paid sick time. So it's a pretty straightforward issue. And, the speaker, we believe, will in the end forge that sensible compromise that is there to be had. The advocates for the bill have made some, I think, important changes. It doesn't cover the very smallest businesses. That's about 62% of the firms, so it won't be covered. But, firms between 5 and 20 workers will have a year to get together on it, to figure it out, and larger firms will have to do it. It's very modest, right? If you're the average fast food restaurant, a $2 million gross sales at McDonald's, let's say, which is quite common, it's $4,000 a year total is estimated that firm will have to pay. So, somebody once said the Subway $5 foot-long sandwich is going to have to cost $5 and a penny. So it's not a huge burden. And the role of government, it's pretty straightforward, right? Life is suffering. Everybody knows that. Everybody you love dies in the end. But the government's job is to reduce needless suffering, and that's what this bill can do in part. It can say that we're going to ensure that all people, not just the lucky ones, are going to have a modicum of security in their work lives.
Now, Crane's New York Business, as you probably know, has published a number of critical articles about this proposal. Let me go down some of the arguments in a Crane's op-ed by Linda Barron, CEO of the Staten Island Chamber of Commerce, and get your reply. She writes, for example, the owner of a local spa in Staten Island tells me her employees typically have five appointments per day, three of them regular clients. With an average charge of $80 per appointment, her business faces a revenue loss of $400 when her employees take a day off due to illness. And then she crunches the numbers on what it costs to get replacement employees, blah, 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 and concludes that the loss there is $376 per sick day for that one small business. She continues, I've heard from owners who offered three paid sick days because that is what they can afford, owners who have 21 employees under the bill and would face an additional $33,000 annual payroll cost under the new law. So take those two examples for a minute.
I mean, the numbers make no sense to me, and I'm not sure we want to dig in too much. I just point out, you said the first one cost $376. She's bringing in $400. Makes no sense that she's paying her workers that amount of money, right? This is whatever somebody's average daily wages they would get. So a modest, a $10 an hour worker would get that $80 for that day. So I don't quite understand the numbers. Listen, there's always a little dispute in society. People are always against things on the business side, cranes, against minimum wage increases. Our view is the problem in society isn't that people have too little money. I have too much money. It's that they have too little, which everyone has noted that austerity is not working so well in Europe, and we ought not to adopt it here. We would like people to have more money in their pockets. That increases consumer demand. It's good for the entire economy. This is a very sensible. It has been passed in three or four other cities in the state of Connecticut, and the studies in those places have shown no adverse impact on employment, because it raises the floor for everybody. Why are we punishing the good employers who provide paid sick time and allowing low-road competition to undercut them? That's something we want to avoid. We want to use the power of the city council to level up instead of – we need a race to the top, not a race to the bottom. So that's all this is. It's a very popular issue with the voting public. Something like 80% of Democrats alone and about 70% of all voters favor this. So the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, has done quite a lot of number crunching on this. It's good for productivity. It's hard almost to imagine that we have to fight for such a thing, right? That it seems so commonsensical, but fight we must, and we believe that the speaker will in the end support this. She has a pretty substantial background in health issues, and that when she does, it'll be a great day. All we want is a vote on the council, and if we lose, we lose. But if we win, hundreds of thousands of people will have a slightly less mean existence, and that's something we can be proud of.
Dan Cantor from the Working Families Party, our guest. We'll get into some of the pure mayoral politics of this and why some people think you're bringing it up not just to push the issue, but to weaken Christine Quinn as a mayoral candidate. But listeners, you want to call in on any side of this? What if you don't have sick days? Is that you? What do you do when you get sick and you're an employed person? Do you just go to work sick? If you're too sick to even do that, do you just take the hit? Are there other ways that you get around it? And what about for some of you business owners? 212-433-WNYC. Dan Cantor frames this as common sense, just common decency. Five paid sick days a year. 212-433-9692. Give us a call. Scott in Soho, you're on the air. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
As a business owner, I'd love to be able to pay all my staff paid sick days, but the reality is that sometimes the finances don't allow for it. Basically what would be great, a great compromise, would say, okay, New York State's going to go ahead and adopt this law in New York City, but there should be a tax break because then it will be, kind of a benefit for everybody that everybody gets to pay for. If the government said, hey, you don't have to pay your sales tax, we're going to go ahead and knock that off for each sick day payment that you have to make to your employees, then we can provide it.
Can you crunch the numbers, if you're willing, Scott, could you crunch the numbers with respect to your business? I understand that you're asking for a tax incentive to do this, and spread the burden. But Dan frames this as, you know, it would cost an extra penny on a $5 foot long at Subway. What do you pay your employees, or how would it cost you in a way that would threaten your business or the reasonable profitability of your business to offer sick days?
Well, the other example, the study, whatever I just heard on the, maybe it was a spa, which, Dan, right. You should understand that, because if you have five clients at $80 a pop, that's $400 that you're losing that day. That's lost revenue that you don't get back because that employee is gone. So on top of that, you don't make that money. And then on top of that, you're having to pay the massage therapist or whatever their daily hourly rate is. It just adds a huge burden to it. I mean, that's a lot of money. If it's one day and you're losing $400 already, and then on top of that, you have to pay, let's say it's $80. Well, $80,
the worker only gets the $80. You're not suggesting that the worker's getting the $480. Come on.
If the person is out sick, you've already, as a business owner, when you're paying payroll and you have that expense or that loss in revenue, now that's money that you're not making anymore because maybe you had to cancel those appointments or reschedule them. You're losing that revenue. That's how that works.
Hang on one at a time. Scott, go ahead.
Let me explain it. So if you have to pay the worker sick 5 days, you're paying out another $400 a year. Now, if you multiply that and you have 20 employees, that ends up being a lot of money. And contrary to what your belief is, everybody thinks small business owners are loaded. You know, whether you own a restaurant or a bar or any other kind of business, a lot of them are struggling right now, and you're asking for extra. You're basically pulling blood from a stone. You know, there's not a whole lot of leeway. You know, everybody's already cut their budgets to try and stay in business.
Right.
And actually, the only people that haven't cut are the government.
Scott.
I mean, maybe a couple of workers, but it's really what happens to a single
More than a couple of workers, but that's another show.
Yeah.
But Scott's put a lot on the table, and you hear how strongly he feels about this as a strong business owner.
Well, the response is unless he's insisting that his workers come to work sick. Which is what he's, I think, saying that they must do.
Scott, is
no,
that
that's
what?
Not, Dan, that's not
you're
going to
lose. You're going to let me finish.
Wait. Let me take this point by point. Scott, what do you want your workers to do when they're sick?
Well, I want them to stay home.
Okay.
And
so
like
you've
I
lost
said, I would love to be able to pay them, but I can't pay them because I have to keep the business open for the other 19 employees that work there.
Okay, Dan, go ahead.
So my response is, if you actually look at the pickup on paid sick days, it's very modest. Most mainstream economists agree that the small cost of labor standards, like paid sick days, are not ultimately borne by employers but are passed along, usually to customers or by adjustments in the operations themselves. Remember, we're leveling up. There's no competitive disadvantage now because everybody has to do this. You're not at a competitive disadvantage when it's a standard that all have to abide by. We want to reward the high-road employers and force the low-road employers to come up. Now, the very small firms, they'll be exempt, right, because we're mindful of that. And there needs to be a phase-in period. But once you're at 20 workers or above, you can. Our view is this is the cost of doing business, and you need to factor that in as a responsible business owner, of which there are many, many thousands. And it becomes a part of it. You abide by minimum wage laws, you abide by health and safety laws, and you would, I believe, over time find it not so burdensome to abide by this. And the cost to society and to productivity and to morale and to retention, many economists think, more than covers the cost of sick days. So, listen, these are people have different views on this. That's why we have a democracy, and that's why we figure these things out.
All right, and we're not going to have you guys agree here today, Scott.
Exactly.
We really appreciate your call. Dan, let me get to the politics of this. Cranes also goes after what it sees as political motivations behind you and others raising this issue right at this moment and putting the focus on City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. They write in a piece titled Naked Politics in Paid Sick Days Push, in their latest push to coax Quinn into backing mandatory paid sick leave legislation, proponents have made their most overt attempt yet at tying the measure to her mayoral ambitions and the consequences should she not support it. Having failed to sway the speaker with arguments that the bill would promote healthier work environments and economic equality for low-wage laborers, organizers now hope to mobilize women voters, a key constituency for Quinn, to add additional pressure. It's a nakedly political move, said one Democratic consultant. Is that the way we should see this?
Listen, we have not given up on persuading the speaker on the merits of the legislation, on the value to people's lives. And we've been at this for several years, as you're well aware. This is 4 years. So it's I think, a little unfair to say this is being ginned up as a political topic. That said, of course we're trying to mobilize voters. Cranes thinks that's a problem, but in fact, that's what you're supposed to do in a democracy, right? We like to make nonviolent change. So you reach out to voters and you say, this is an important issue. And the decider here, the leader here, is the speaker, and she's in a tough position. Of course, that's the price of leadership. You have to make hard decisions. We think this one isn't so hard, and we remain quite optimistic that at the end we can get her to be not just a supporter of this, but a leader. We think it would be a great feather in her cap. The way we don't want to do that, of course, is by bringing public attention to the issue.
And speculation is there's no way your Working Families Party will endorse Quinn for mayor for the Democratic nomination or for your own party's ballot line, or that it's not likely at least, and that you're more likely to get behind public advocate Bill de Blasio. And so this is a way to give Quinn a black eye with a certain liberal base of the Democratic Party.
So this is what's wrong with American, you know, it's like the horse race, right, where people, it's like sometimes a cigar really is a cigar. Sometimes a campaign to actually pass a piece of decent legislation is just that. We've been at this since 2009, and I sort of resist this notion that this is about the 2013 elections. This is about the lives of hundreds of thousands of low-wage working women and men.
Want to talk
that's
to,
enough. Talk that, to, that, it, that's all it needs to be.
Want to talk to one more small business owner? Joe in Bayshore. And Joe, we don't have as much time for you as we gave Scott, but jump right in. Joe, you there? Is it Joe in Bayshore? Do I have the right line? Okay, maybe not. Manny in Newark. Manny, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Just to comment on this, a friend of mine did a business manual, and he gave his employees 5 sick days that he paid for. Every year, every one of his employees took those 5 sick days until his wife got the manual threw in the garbage. I personally paid my employees. I would encourage them to not work when they were sick. I'm retired, by the way. I would encourage them not to work when they were sick, and I would pay their sick days. But I had a lot of respect for my employees and the effort they put out, so I didn't mind doing it. But a consequence of this law will be that if you give everybody 5 sick days, everyone will take 5 sick days, regardless of whether they're sick or not.
Manny's experience as a business owner, Dan?
Well, the data does not support that view at all. People use about half their sick days in America. So it's a good thing to have, and some people will use more, and some will use none, and they use it to go when their kid gets sick at school, and you get that call from the nurse, and you have to come pick up your daughter. You'd like to be able to do that, and it should not just be some people that get to do it, but all people.
And by the way, that Crane's article suggests that the only thing that you can accomplish with this is to weaken Quinn vis-a-vis other Democratic hopefuls, because it quotes a Democratic operative saying, this group does not have the capacity to put together a mass mobilization of women. They've sent some letters and had a press conference. So do you really think you can prevail on the issue as opposed to just weakening Christine Quinn?
We think so. 70%+ of the members of city council are in favor. We just want to vote. If we lose, we lose. But if we win, that will be a good thing. So all we're looking for is a vote on the council. There's a supermajority of support among members. There's some more work to be done. The speaker has said she has an open mind, even though she has said her views haven't changed. We still think the facts are very much on our side if people will look at them dispassionately.
Dan Cantor, co-chair of the Working Families Party, part of the group trying to push for Christine Quinn, the Speaker of City Council, to bring the paid sick days bill up for a vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue our election year series, That's My Issue. We're collecting stories of how anything in your life has influenced your politics. Go to WNYC.org/issues to see our growing gallery of stories and add your own. You can also make an online badge to display your issue. It's really easy and fun to do. And tomorrow we have declared That's My Issue Day. We're going to ask everybody to share on social media the badges that you make that have a share button right on them at WNYC.org/issues. Go and check it out. For the on-air portion today, we're going to follow up on the conversation we were just having and invite any of you who own a business to call in right now and talk about how that experience has affected your politics. 212-433-WNYC. Conventional wisdom is that business owners, large or small, generally feel more represented by the Republican Party because they are more likely to fight things like a mandatory sick leave proposal or other forms of government regulation. Has that been the case for you in terms of how owning a business has shaped your politics? 212-433-WNYC. You can own a business currently. You can have owned one previously, as Manny from Newark, who just called in, did. He's retired now. 212-433-9692. And beyond partisan terms, because that's my issue, is not really just about Democrat or Republican, what issues have you become aware of or come to feel more strongly about or changed your opinion on based on your experience in business? Minimum wage laws, health insurance laws, environmental laws, tax laws, anything else? 212-433-WNYC. But how has your experience as a business owner influenced your politics? 212-433-9692. We'll take your calls on today's That's My Issue segment right after this.